Who's ready for the word this morning? Man, it's going to be good this morning. I'm going to ask if AJ would come up. AJ Underwood is going to be speaking to us this morning. Everyone knows you, man. It's going to be good.
Let's honor a worship leader and leaders, right? That will get on their knees and worship before us, right? Not just a concert for us, but they're up here and they are worshiping, and you can see that in what they do. And I will tell you this, an unintended consequence of worship like that is it takes all the pressure away from the person who has to follow it, right? Because we know that the King is in the room already. He has already moved in this place. He has already done things this morning in your lives, and nothing that I'm going to come up here and say or do is going to change that. And that takes a little bit of pressure off of me for sure. So, my name is AJ, for those of you that may not know me. I'm a volunteer here at Lifehouse. I do a number of different things, mainly because I've been told my spiritual gift is saying yes. And so, one of the main things that I do every Sunday morning is usually count attendance. And so what we'll do is we'll start with Megan, just go one and then down and just wrap it around till we get over here so I can type that in. No. Obviously we know that if I am preaching this morning, that can only mean one thing. Pastor Drew comes back next Sunday because we have run out of people to speak on a Sunday morning, right? We have obviously missed the Moorheads immensely. But I also want to say that, like, in the best possible way, we have not missed them, right? I know what you're thinking, right? But we've done ministry. God has moved, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. And that is a testament to the leadership of the Moorheads, right? And so, as I said, although we have missed them in the best way possible, we have not. And we have gotten to hear from Brad last week, Paul a couple weeks before that, Dawn a couple weeks before that. So we've gotten to hear from Lindsay opening services and Wendy opening services and all of these things, right? And it's just, honestly, it's been, I think, a blessing for us as much for them, and really been awesome to see. And so I think everybody who has led throughout this time deserves a bit of honor right now as well. Now, I know we've talked about this serve day a little bit, and I won't lie to you. I kind of wish Brad had talked about serve day like 6 weeks ago. My goodness, that was perfect, sir. But I do want to make sure I remind everybody of that, just to kind of explain a little bit of what it is. And so we do have a serve day coming up on July 12th. It's a national serve day, so there's hundreds of churches participating in this across the country, and it's the first time that we are doing it, so it's a little new for us, and we're excited to kind of do this for the first time, see how many folks show up, see how many projects that we can do. I think we're going to start a little light this year just to kind of see how many we have. That doesn't mean we need to be light on people, right? Because it starts at 8 a.m. and goes till projects are done, so more people means, done quicker, right? So, and also more things that we can do and a bigger impact we can make. And so if you are able to, for a couple hours on a Saturday morning, we want to encourage you to sign up for that serve day. We are going to need people with electrical experience, like basic electrical experience, to help serve a member of our church. We are going to be serving our local schools with some simple painting projects. So if you can hold a paintbrush, you can come out there. We are going to, spend some time with folks that maybe don't always have people come spend time with them. We are going to also do a little landscaping in one of those locations. So if you have a bit of a green thumb, we would love to have you come out for that. And then We are going to bake some goodies and go bless some of our first responders in our community that morning as well. So again, those are some of the projects we're doing. We still have about 2 weeks until that day. So if any other projects pop up during that time, we may add them in depending on how many people sign up. But again, it's just a moment for us to really be the church in the community and to the folks that call Lifehouse home. And so we are excited to do that. All right. All right, one last thing before we get into it. Does everybody know my guy Max over here? Right? Everybody knows Max, right? He doesn't know I'm doing this, so he's excited. Look, many of us have felt the impact of Max, okay? And I don't mean open cans or jokes from Pastor Drew or any of those kind of things, right? Max is the first to give you a hug, to say good morning, to check in on you when something's going wrong, right? He is one of the most loving, supporting guys I have ever met in my life and makes an impact and an influence in my life all the time, whether he knows it or not. Sometimes what not to do, but very often he impacts me in very positive, amazing ways, right? So Brad mentioned First Wednesday earlier, and I know it's the summer. I know it's the Wednesday of the week of 4th of July. I know all of these things, okay? Here's what I want to encourage you. If you are available, if you are in town, make yourself available. And we need to come out this Wednesday and support our guest speaker for his first time, Max. That's right. So again, that is Wednesday, this Wednesday at 6:30. We need to come support that guy. All right. So now, today, we are going to wrap up our series on David. Okay? We've been there for a while. I am extremely honored to be able to wrap this series up for you today. I love, love, love the life of David and how it kind of speaks into my life. And so we will be in 2 Samuel and chapter 22. We are going to read a good bit of scripture today. This is his song of praise as well as some of his last words that we are going to go into today. So I know for me with David, the thing that I just love from this series and really just spending some time, you know, learning from David's life is, you know, I'm not as messed up as I tell myself I am, right? And God is a whole lot better than I tell myself he is, right? And I love that in David's life and in the things that we hear. If you have ever felt like you are not enough or you have done something too terrible or any of those kind of things that we like to tell ourselves, spend some time reading about David, right? Imagine if David was the king or president now in this social media era, right? I can see the tweet right now. It says, from slingshot to big shot to kill shot, did King David have his friend killed in a love triangle? Click here for more, right? And so thank goodness he wasn't alive then, but boy, what we can learn from him and his last words and the things that we have been reading. So let's dig into those final words today. Let me pray, and then we will get into 2 Samuel chapter 22. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to learn from David's life. And as we have spent weeks and weeks inside of this sermon series, digging into David's life, we have been able to look at our own lives and realize that we're not here to rely on us, but rely on you. And in all of the things that we do and we say to ourselves, you do and say so much better things in our lives. And we are thankful for that. So for this morning, that you would be made holy this morning, that your message would come out, that everyone would hear exactly what they need to hear, and that we would leave here proclaiming that God is great in our life. Amen. All right. So again, we're going to have a good bit of scripture this morning. We're going to start in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. We're going to read for a little bit here. It says, He sang, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The waves of death overwhelmed me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the heaven shook. They quaked because of his anger. Smoke poured from his nostrils. Fierce flames leaped from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him. He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet. Mounted on a mighty angelic being, he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dense rain clouds. A great brightness shone around him, and burning coals blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed, and they were confused. Then at the command of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundation of the earth were laid bare. I am glad I have not upset him that much. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety, and he rescued me because he delights in me." David opens with a song of praise, acknowledging that every victory he has experienced came from God. And he has been rescued from plenty of enemies, right? He was rescued from Goliath the giant, Saul his mentor, Absalom his son, the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Moabites. He had a lot of enemies to overcome. But David realized that God's strength carried him, not his own. He refers to God as his rock, a fortress, deliverer, shield, salvation, and stronghold. He doesn't take credit for these victories, but thanks the Lord for them. We cannot confuse personal success with personal strength. I remember all the way back to the very first time that I ever got the opportunity to speak like this. And I didn't feel like I was going to throw up any more than this morning, but it was definitely a nerve-wracking and anxious time. And at that time, it was at a place that had two services. And so I was just anxious, nervous, anxious. Just felt like, just all those feelings when that kind of stuff happens. And I just was praying the whole morning for God to remove that anxiety from me, to help me to feel comfortable, to help me to be able to just worship him before coming up there. And you could just feel a peace whenever I would pray that. And then I got up and I preached, and it was good enough that people told me it was good, and that was fantastic. And then the problem was I started believing it, right? So in between those two services, I didn't really feel too anxious. I didn't really ask God to help me out. I didn't really pray and lean into him before going into that next service. And I remember the overwhelming feeling of anxiety when I was then called to go up there the second service, right? Realizing that I had decided to lean into my personal success instead of leaning into God in that moment. And it was life-changing for me and any time that I get to speak after that, right? Psalms 18:32 says, "God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect." So let's let gratitude, not pride, be the voice of our victories. We keep going in his song of praise at verse 21. It says, "The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. I have followed all his regulations. I have never abandoned his decrees. I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He has seen my innocence. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them. Those do not sound like the words of a guy who slept with his best friend's wife, got her pregnant, tried to trick him into thinking it was his, and then murdered him. Right? Does not sound like that at all. He says, the Lord rewarded me because of my innocence, which might sound odd or even bold until you realize that he's talking about a heart that keeps returning to God, not flawless behavior. God isn't looking for perfection, but for pursuit, a heart that is after him. Not just David, but the Bible is full of people who fail and return, fail and return, fail and return. And we can learn from every one of those people. You see, because David repented when confronted, showing us that the pursuit of God is seen in how quickly we return to him when we fall. And honestly, as parents, we can understand that, right? We can understand how we see our children like that. I know that because I have seen Ace slap Julie in the face, right? But then I've also seen him put those same hands on her face and pull her in for a kiss, right? And she's not thinking about the fact that Ace just smacked her in the face 20 minutes ago, right? We're a little more mature, maybe, in our age than to do those kind of things. But I think that there are times where we as believers, we might overestimate our problem and our maturity in God's eyes, right? He knows where our heart is and what we mean. And even when we do something that we shouldn't, even when we continuously do things that we shouldn't, even when we think they are far worse than anything that he could understand. Our greatest legacy, and David's greatest legacy, wasn't a clean record. It was a clean heart. Acts 13:22 says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about who God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David was called a man after God's own heart after his failures, not before them. And we are the same way. Our life can still honor God, even in our mistakes, as long as we have a life of pursuit over perfection. Now, digging into his last words here in chapter 23, he starts off with, these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. And David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God. David calls himself a man raised up high, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. But in the same breath, he speaks of ruling in the fear of God and leading with justice. David was a man that also honored others. He honored Saul. He mourned Saul and Jonathan. He spared Saul's life. He restored Mephibosheth. You had a lot more hard names last week than I did. That's really the one I got right there. Yep. And if you continue to read in chapter 23, he elevated many, many mighty men. And that is because a life of honor leaves a trail of influence. Influence isn't built by power. It's built by how you love and honor people. Power and strength look a lot different in our world today, but they also look a lot different in the kingdom. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. The people that you lead, and I would go so far as to say the people around you, will remember how you treated them far more than what you accomplished. Who here has ever, who here knows who Mr. Magoo is? Yeah? Oh, I thought it was going to be more than that. I asked Paul this morning, and he was like, I have no idea who that is. I never felt older. So Mr. Magoo, right, is a old cartoon character, okay? An old man who walked through the world without wearing the glasses he so desperately needed. And he couldn't really see where he was going, and because of that, he would walk through scenes and situations just kind of messing everything up as he went along, right? Completely oblivious to the fact that he was doing that. I would have played a clip of him if I'd known so many people didn't know what I was talking about. But as he walked in, people would see him, and they'd see him coming, and they would shift their behavior or pay attention to what he was doing in order to make sure that not as much chaos maybe ensued, right? And this is a great example of how many of us walk through the world, right? We leave this trail of influence that we are often oblivious to. But people are watching what we do, listening to what we say, and remembering that for far longer than we imagine. And we are just as oblivious to it, like Mr. Magoo. Especially Christians. We got Magoo Christians out there, all right? That's a new one. You can use it, write it down, take it with you, doesn't matter, right? But we're walking around oblivious to the influence that we have on people, and sometimes you will never hear what that influence is or know what it is. It's about how we choose to walk through this world and honor others, right? I heard a quote. I don't have it up there, sorry, but it says, every person has the power to make others happy. Some do it simply by entering a room. Others by leaving the room. Some individuals leave trails of gloom. Others, trails of joy. Some leave trails of hate and bitterness. Others, trails of love and harmony. Some leave trails of cynicism and pessimism. Others, trails of faith and optimism. Some leave trails of criticism and resignation. Others, trails of gratitude and hope. So the challenge today would be, what kind of trails do you leave? Because you are leaving a trail everywhere you go, in your kids' lives, in the people you work with lives, in the people that interact with you here at church's lives, right? You leave that trail. You do not have to be up here doing this in order to leave a trail of influence behind you. People are watching. Samuel chapter 23, verse 5 says, it is not my family God has chosen. Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and success. And that's from David, who left a trail of influence behind him, right? And he says, God has made me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. We do leave that trail. But quite often, it's God's faithfulness, not our performance, that secures our future. David acknowledged that God's promise, not his performance, is what secured his future and legacy. Now, we often hear things like that, and then we make statements like, you know, works don't get us into heaven, right? You can't work your way into heaven necessarily. You can't work your way towards God's grace, right? And I get that. But we as Christians love to take stuff like that and just wrench the heck out of it, right? And so I want you to know that, no, you cannot work your way to grace. But grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning, right? We cannot earn our way. We cannot secure our own future. That comes in the faithfulness of God. But we also can't sit there and do nothing about it and expect God to work in that, right? His hope rests not in his goodness, not in our goodness, but on God's faithfulness. So we must anchor our lives to the unchanging covenant of God's grace. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. We've got to understand that it takes our effort, but it is God's faithfulness that secures our future. Then we end his song of praise with these two verses. It says, for this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. You give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David, and all his descendants forever. David ends his reflection the same way he began it, with praise. The best way to finish is with worship. David's life closed with worship, reminding us that no matter how the journey has looked, we finish strong by giving God the glory. Worship is the way we align our hearts with God in every season. Although we often consider it a type of music, that is not what worship is. Hebrews 13:15 says, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. So no matter where your story is right now, it's not too late to finish with praise, purpose, and perspective. Now, I know what you all are thinking. The worship team's coming back up. Like, we're done already? We are. So the question is, the question is, as we close, are you living in your strength or leaning on God's? Is your legacy one of pursuit and repentance or performance and pride? Are you leaving a trail of faith and optimism, love and joy, gratitude and hope? David's last words remind us, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be surrendered. Surrender has a bad connotation to it. But in the kingdom, surrender shows strength. And so this morning, together, as the worship team comes up here, this is what I want us to do. There's a word over the last couple of weeks that God has really been speaking to me, and that word is intentional. I tried my best to be intentional with the word this morning, and hopefully it spoke to you in some way. I believe that God was very intentional when he gave that to Dawn earlier this service and said, there are people in this room that are waiting on God's promises, right? Or, as we just said, have something they should be surrendering. And I believe that there were many people in this room that had that feeling they should come up here earlier and surrender something or lean into God or ask about his promises, and they didn't take that opportunity and they've thought about that. We are going to get that opportunity in just a moment. And my encouragement to you is this. Don't belabor. Don't think about it forever, right? Don't try and find the words. Be intentional. When this worship team starts to play, get up out of your seats and come up here to surrender the things that God is telling you to surrender. And again, you don't need to search for the words. He knows it already, so if you don't have the words, sit there quietly for a minute and he'll take it. But we are going to come here and we are going to intentionally surrender the things that are holding us back in our lives, the things that are leaving a terrible trail of influence behind us, the things that are our performance, not God's promises. And I want you to come do that intentionally, and I would even so far as to say quickly, I want you to come up here and without doubt drop that and get back, because then we are going to finish this in worship. Because that is the best way to finish this service, this series, and I would even say Pastor Drew and Kristen's time on sabbatical, right? They would love nothing more than for us to worship this Sunday morning. Amen. As the last Sunday that they are on sabbatical. So, Father, let me pray real quick. Father, we are so thankful for this morning, for this team, for you moving in our midst, for your faithfulness in our life, for your promises in our life, and for the promise of surrender and the strength that comes from it. It is not about fighting. It is not about wrestling this issue. It is not about an unfulfilled promise. It is not about you not doing something in our lives. It's not about the enemy that we face. It's not about any of that. It is about you, your faithfulness, your strength, and the pursuit of you that will leave a trail of influence when we leave this place this morning. And so as the worship team starts to play this morning, starts to worship, rather, I would say, there are people in this room who need to come up here, intentionally surrender something to you, leave it on this altar, and then go back to their chair and worship. Not sing, not raise a hand, but be actively involved in a moment of worship with a weight taken off of them and left at this altar. So let us surrender together today, and then let's finish with worship.
You will never
brought me here, you brought me here to rest. Given me space to breathe, so I'll stay still until it sinks in. So I will lean back, I will lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. I'm gonna breathe, Lord,
breathe deep and know that He is good. He's a love like no other.
I will lean back, I will
lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father.
Learning to breathe
deep, know that He is good. He's a love like no other.
One more time, I will lean back. I will
lean back loving arms of a beautiful Father.
So we're gonna breathe deep,
breathe deep, and know that He is good. He's a love like no other.
You sustaining me before I even knew what love was. You brought me here to rest and given me space to. So I'll stay still until it sinks in. So I'll stay still until it sinks in. Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Declare it over your life right now. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken. Through you, Jesus, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoa, 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 your blood has covered every sin. Your grace empowers me to win. Sing my pain and my oppression met. Your blood and my acceptance. Now I'm alive to bring you praise. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. declare it with me. I'm free. I'm free. Time where the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
Where
the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord
is, there is freedom.
Every chain is broken.
Jesus,
where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom. Whoa.
All right, Lifehouse, let's take that Spirit of the Lord. Let's take His strength, His faithfulness. Let's lean into that and leave a trail of influence behind us in this world that it so desperately needs right now. You guys have a great Sunday, and we'll see you on Wednesday night at 6:30 for my guy Max here. We love you, Lifehouse. Have a good day.